Tuesday, October 19th, Kyle, you and I, yes, got accused of putting on the World of Automotive Outlaws podcast. We're going to talk about that in just a second.
Everywhere I go, the people really want to know who I is and who I be. They stop and stare when they see me. If I said it once, no need to repeat, run up on me.
All right, Kyle, tell the story of that intro.
So here's the thing. We've talked about Darren Doan, I think, on every episode since we had a mind-boggling conversation with him about 2 weeks ago.
I think so.
So here's your Darren Doan moment. We're just going to call him Darren Doan moments every
morning. I need a trigger pad for this all of a sudden.
It's like, Darren Doan! Right?
No, we got to come with something better than that. It's all I had queued up.
That's all we had. So, so he gets a message from one of our friends yesterday that says, I saw you at the World of Automotive Outlaws Festival of Podcasting, which is like you just said, we got accused. I'm so proud to get accused of throwing that.
Right? All of a sudden we were like, I think we named the event wrong.
we missed the whole event. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Well, next one.
We need some marketing. So we're outlaws, we're mob bosses. I think we've been called all the names in the last week, and we're not mad at it.
No, we're not actually. We've been plotting a potential live stream by the end of the year, and we were talking about having it in a speakeasy. So it's kind of the shoe kind of fits.
Yes,
shoe kind of fits.
A little underground. Just like everybody walking in, like having to tap on a door three times backwards with their head. You know, it's like that's the only way you get in.
Oh, I love that so much. I love that so much. But it is so cool to watch the worlds begin to meld together of the troublemakers and the outlaws. Started at the conference. The philosophy started before the conference, but at the conference we really did see this start to happen because we brought in some people that were from outside automotive, Darren Doan, Dave Meltzer. And like, we knew that those outside perspectives, especially those particular ones, were going to hit hard because a lot of people, believe it or not, if you're outside automotive, there are a lot of people that don't even think that the automotive industry are thinking forward or savvy, which is crazy for us inside the auto industry because it's all we think about. Isn't that weird?
That's a really interesting point. You know, the perspective still from outside of the automotive industry is that there's no change, right? That there's no Brian Kramer, Brian Benstock, Liza Borchis out there, you know, really challenging the way that things have always been done.
Yep.
The widespread perspective is that's not even on the radar, right? Like, I'm thinking about if anyone was in that room or is in any of the conversations, even on Clubhouse or anything like that, and they're not from automotive, the first reaction is, wait, you mean it's not a bunch of suits on a stage talking about how much money they made on people, right?
You know, the first time I realized this was when we had the Isotu event in Philly last November, and you know, we had Brian Benstock and Brian Kramer and Kristen Dillard. We had a whole lineup, Bob Lanham, Alex Vetter. We had all these people that are thinking forward in the industry. And, you know, they're lighting it up like they usually do. Glenn wrapped us up with his final keynote. And I actually sent the footage. This is one of the first times I ever worked with Darren Doan. And I sent him the footage so he could edit because I needed some help. And he was like, bro, I had no idea there were people that brilliant inside automotive. Like, I remember Benstock, he just couldn't get enough of them. And so that's when I first realized, like, you know what? People rag on the industry with this PR problem that we talk about all the time, but people, even business people, even savvy business people, have no idea of the level of innovation and thoughtfulness going on inside the industry.
Right, because the story, the big story is the Tesla or the GM making an all EV push, or that's what makes the headlines, right?
Or the crappy drag the bus, you know, back and forth over them on like the Carvana and Vroom commercials.
Exactly. Yeah. So the headlines are telling a story that's not all true about a growing segment within the retail automotive industry, especially the franchise retail, also the independent, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that's kind of our mission is to give not just dealers, but dealer groups and segments of dealer groups the capacity to tell that story through creativity, through marketing roles, all that type of stuff, because it's a story that for that growing arena of dealers, right? I was talking to a dealer this morning that's moving to a single point of contact way of doing business, meaning one person can handle the whole transaction, whether online or in the store. That's not like you start to talk to someone that's outside of the industry about that change. That's a big deal, right? But we don't tell that story often enough. And I think, you know, us really having this mission to equip people to tell that story more is going to be a big deal, because those are the stories that kind of live in the shadows right now.
They are. And when we realize that, like, you know, when someone sees something in you that you take for granted, and all of a sudden you're like, oh, I guess that is a good thing, right? This is similar to that inside the industry. And that's, like you said, like, we need to put some steel in the spine of everyone on the front lines, of everyone on the tech side and vendor side, of everyone in the dealership, to know that this isn't a losing proposition. This is just getting started. Like, getting this out and letting the rest of the world see what it is that's actually going on is going to be a big part of fixing that PR problem that we talk about, because it's happening. Like, we don't have to fabricate or manufacture it, or like, let's get going, guys, right? We are going. We're just doing it in a way that nobody can see. And so when I first started Image Auto, my reconditioning company, the automotive vendors, we basically made cars look better for dealers. So I spent almost 15 years doing that. And that whole industry, the perception of it was like, oh, these are guys that show up in a beat up pickup truck. They're probably hungover. They probably won't be here next week, you know, and I can't count on them. And I was like, I don't accept that. And so we had brand new vehicles that we made look nice. We had uniforms. We showed up every time the same week, rain or shine, even if there was no work to be done. And little by little, the perception of that industry, at least in the regions that we did business in the Northeast, did begin to change. And that's possible in the automotive industry. So, and that's why we're working. Move on to a couple stories that came up today. Kyle,
yes, speaking of thinking,
go ahead.
Speaking of, like,
oh, he has
thinking
a good segue.
Into the future,
good segue.
I got the segues.
go.
Into the future, right? The first Bitcoin futures are set to start trading today under the company name ProShares, which is that's a really big deal. So for those and Paul can maybe get a little bit more nerdy than I can on this, but the reality for a lot of people has been that that Bitcoin and other cryptocurrency has been kind of an elusive proposition for investment because of potential for security risk and just the unknown there. But what this allows the investors to do is actually invest in the futures. So what they believe Bitcoin will do, so trading on futures, but in the stock exchange, right? So in their traditional investment portfolio types, but still getting that kind of like tiptoe into crypto. So it's a really interesting kind of mix of kind of old world investment and new world investment that a lot of investors have been looking for a long time. So I think it might actually begin to bridge the gap in the way that people start to invest in cryptocurrency, which could be a really cool thing.
Just like anything new, right? There are a lot of people like sitting on the sidewalk watching the race happen, but they really want to get in, but they just haven't had enough confidence to get in. So obviously the early adopters jumped in, and they're the ones that are, I mean, we call them millionaires now, right? When it comes to Bitcoin. but as people have been jumping in, like, once you see the credibility of the New York Stock Exchange, and it's definitely going to increase the conversation around it, make it seem more normal, right? It's going to normalize the whole thing. And as things get more normal, right, they feel safer. I don't know if they are safer, but they feel safer. And more people get involved, and more people start to build systems and portfolios around them, and off we go.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. Just this a little bit more normalized, you know, research. Even people that are talking about cryptocurrency are going to get more familiar with it from a news perspective. So their familiarity will be passed on to to consumer familiarity, and it'll start to integrate some of those inroads. So it's actually a super innovative move in the market, in the investment market. So I'm excited to watch that story unfold and kind of see, Bitcoin already traded higher yesterday, and they're expecting a big jump this week because of this opportunity. And so, you know, the story sometimes drives the portfolio, and there's a good chance that'll start to happen as the day goes on.
It's true. Let's talk about your home state for a minute. And this is kind of back to the auto industry.
I know.
Ford, like, it was the talk of Tennessee yesterday that, news came out of Nashville that considering a pretty large investment in a Ford mega site.
Yeah, so they won the mega site
lottery.
It might have been a couple years ago at this point, but you know, there's still a lot of like red tape to cut through as far as like building infrastructure and all that type of stuff. And we're talking about a state understanding what the capacity of a large electric truck and battery manufacturing site has from a job perspective, a gross domestic product revenue perspective, meaning they're willing to spend over $900 million to help Ford with startup costs, from building grants to creating an education platform, right, to build a Tennessee College of Applied Technology. So they're actually this is incredible foresight on the side of the state of Tennessee, is knowing that that if 5,800 jobs are getting created out of this, then we've got to get people trained up to do those jobs, right? So it's not, and then we've got to make sure that people can get there. So it's transportation to get there, to build the roads around the site. So it's a really interesting, when you think about land development or business development, that it's not just a business coming in and dropping a building and saying we're here, that it actually totally adjusts a state's capacity or a country's capacity for growth or revenue or anything like that. So really insightful from Tennessee, and I'm excited to see what it does for my home state.
Yeah, you should be proud. I mean, Tennessee's getting it done this year. I mean, I just read a book by the former Tennessee governor, Bill Halsam. It was really great. Just kind of saw like Tennessee's been getting it done for a while. And this is, you know, like anything in life, it never starts with like one move, right? It's a mentality over time. Now it just seems like all the things are starting to fall into place. So,
yeah, I mean, just looking at Tennessee, right? From just a place to do business or a place to live, right? The growth in Nashville, the city, I think it's like 5 years running now. We've had over 100 move-ins per day into the greater Nashville area. That's pretty insane. So, like from a housing growth, a jobs capacity, so many companies moving from, you know, Western U.S. into specifically Nashville, but also the whole Tennessee area. Ford coming in with, their EV manufacturing, yeah, which is really thinking. Neat.
Absolutely.
It's a big forward thinking city. We've, new sports teams coming in, looking at here. There's an IndyCar race. So from a city and a state that was kind of asleep in the middle of a bunch of bigger cities and states, it's kind of risen over the past 10 years. And I'll say it's because my wife and I moved here.
I was going to say it's because I just started a business with you that domiciled in Tennessee, and everyone's like, yo, we got to get on this. Daily's in. So that's what I was thinking. But look, the jury's out. We'll just leave it at that. No one really knows the answer. finally, one thing that Kyle and I are like, we're going to play this for a second.
Can I do that?
Because we're really excited for all Mac events because we're little Mac heads. And
we were actually both mad that we missed watching the keynote. It's like we're such geeks that we watch all of them.
I know. Right? Well, actually, I've gotten off the keynotes because it's fun from either way. I ain't got time for that anymore. I don't think you do either, which is why you didn't watch it. Which is exactly why you didn't watch it. But all that to say, Mac is switching over to all M1 processors. They're taking full control of their processor line, which with everything going on, again, talking about that foresight, Mac's been on this journey for several years now, and it seems like they couldn't switch away from relying on other processor manufacturers at a better time than right now. And so, yeah, go check them out. They're cool. It's just a little something to be cool. But, you know, we're out of time today. We're trying to keep it tight for you because we know you got busy things to do. Thanks for spending some time with us here today. And Kyle, last words. I'm going to drop it on you.
I would say just have some fun today.
Ooh, start bouncing. Everywhere I go, the people really